So the engine is running. You're getting ready to trek along. And where are you going to go? You decide to head out west.
Let's go to Navajo Nation.
Navajo Nation. Let's do it. What are we going to find in Navajo Nation?
Monument Valley.
Oh, I'm so excited. Here we go.
Did you know that 46 million Americans plan to take an RV trip in the next 12 months? 90% of recreational vehicle owners take three or more mini vacations every year. Welcome to the RV Destinations Podcast. If it's RV travel, we're talking about it. From campgrounds to museums to national and state parks, kayaking and hiking opportunities. One of the most fun and pleasurable things you can do is just hit the road. So be ready to be inspired. Welcome in to the RV Destinations Podcast. Now your host, President Randy Beheimer, and Editor-in-Chief, Callie Beheimer.
Hello, and welcome to the RV Destinations Podcast. This is the podcast series where we talk about everything around RV destinations all across the United States and Canada. I am Callie Beheimer, Editor-in-Chief of RV Destinations Magazine, and I am here with the amazing, gorgeous, super handsome Randy Beheimer, President of RV Destinations Magazine. How is that intro?
Is that like sexual harassment in the workplace?
Not if we're married.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, sorry to disappoint. But in today's episode, we are really excited about this location. We are actually sitting here live, broadcasting live from
Monument Valley, Utah.
Utah. Well, technically, though, Monument Valley is in Arizona.
Well, no, we're in Utah.
But
right
we're
now.
In Utah. But Monument
are
Valley.
Are you confused where you're at?
No, I'm not. I know that we're in Utah. But you cross the state line, it's like spitting distance away, and then bam, you're in Arizona, which is where Monument Valley, actual Monument Valley is. Yes. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. The 10 fun top things to do in Monument Valley. And, you know, this is really an area that people come to. It's a very transient area because you're out in the middle of nowhere. This is a destination that you come to when you want to get out into nature and really see kind of the awe that nature brings and that nature can do.
Monument Valley is such a special place. I love this place. This is my third time here in Monument Valley. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, a lot of people just come here for a day or maybe 2 days and they take off. And there's really a lot more to do here. I think it's a 3 to 5 day destination.
Yeah.
I really do. I don't think you need more than five. In fact, we are here this time, what, 4 days?
It's been four because we got in on Monday. So we spent some time Monday out and about.
Yep.
So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then we're leaving tomorrow. So we've had three and a half, four days here.
And I feel like we've covered pretty much Monument Valley and the surrounding area here that you want to do. So if you're coming to Southern Utah and you're trying to do the Mighty Five, you know, include Monument Valley in that Mighty Five because, you know, there is such beauty here in Navajo Nation here. So let's start out, as we always do, with some fun facts.
Fun facts. And
there's not many, but let's talk about it. So Monument Valley is a desert climate.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Very, very dry, very arid.
Be prepared for red sandstone to be stuck to everything. So we have two boxers, and for anybody that knows boxers, they have white paws. That's kind of a character of them. Yeah, ours don't anymore. They have red paws.
Yeah, I'm looking at Zoe, who is our reverse brindle boxer, and she's staring at me because she's wanting me to throw the ball, but she has red feet.
And then our other boxer, who's a fawn, you can't tell that she has white socks at all because her white socks are now red and match the rest of her body.
That's right. So another fun fact is Monument Valley actually is in Navajo Nation.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, the Navajos run this whole part of town. But the Navajo has actually been root in this area, have taken root to this area long before the Spaniards come up from Mexico. So
really? That's interesting.
For a really long time. And then, you know, Monument Valley really became famous due to John Ford's movie. A lot of John Wayne movies have been shot here. I can't remember the number. Did you hear the number?
I did not. We'll talk about that, actually, number 10. is going to talk about some of the information that they can find on the different films that were here. And I will give history as to how films got here.
That's awesome. And another thing is that, you know, the buttes that you see here in Monument Valley. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what Monument Valley is, just Google it. Look at a picture and you're like, I've seen that before. Yeah. You've seen it in a lot of movies.
Lots of movies.
Forrest Gump, you've seen it in.
Wild West with, Will Smith.
Lots of old John Wayne movies. Uh-huh. Lots of John Wayne
Thelma
movies.
Thelma and Louise.
Right, that's right. What was the other one?
National Lampoon's Vacation.
Vacation was shot here, yeah. Part of it. Obviously not all of it. So anyway, there's a lot of cool things. It's considered one of America's great natural wonders. And just really a cool place. One of my favorite places. I got to be honest. I just love it here.
Yeah, and the Navajo actually even call it the seventh wonder of the Navajo Nation, which is really cool. So it is incredible to see. The landscape here is just incredible. I just don't even know how else to describe it.
You've got to put it on your bucket list. Yes. You've got to get your RV out here. We'll talk about some places to camp, and there's a lot of boondocking options here in the Monument Valley area. We'll talk about that as well. So let's, without further ado, let's jump right into the top 10. So number 10.
Yes, is going to be visiting Golding's Lodge. And that's really, I hate to say it, how Monument Valley kind of got onto the map was through Golding's Lodge. And it's a really kind of cool history. There was this couple, Harry and Leon, but she went by Mike. That was her nickname. So Harry and Mike came here in the early 20s, visited the area, fell in love with it. And then several years later, the Paiute Indian Reservation started opening up plots of land to sell, and Harry and Mike jumped all over it. They picked up a huge chunk of land in the area.
640 acres, actually.
Whoa, that is a huge chunk of land.
In 1928.
Yeah, and they set up a trading post. And they originally started in tents, and they were just selling with the local natives, and they would just barter. It was all about barter. Money wasn't exchanged. It was like, you know, if you need these goods, we will take a rug or jewelry or pottery or whatever it was. And that's how the Goldings came to be in the area. Now, the Great Depression came along in the 30s and really hit the Navajo Nation very, very, very hard. And so Harry was looking for ways to bring money back into this area. And he heard about a movie production company that was looking for places to shoot movies. And he got in touch with them and said, hey, you need to check out where we live. This place is incredible. It's the perfect setting for Western movies. And lo and behold, Monument Valley literally popped up on the map in the movie world. And since then, movies have been shot here literally ever since then. So it's pretty amazing how this couple really helped put Navajo Nation and Monument Valley on the map.
Yeah, so there's a lot to do at Goldings. First of all, there is an RV park here, and we are staying actually at Goldings RV park. But we're going to talk about RV options at the end of the top 10, so I don't want to go into too much detail. But in addition to that, you've got John Wayne's Cabin. Mm-hmm. You've got a cafe. You've got an indoor pool. Hotel rooms.
A gift shop, a little theater. The theater plays movies, John Wayne movies specifically. There was John Wayne was kind of one of the first movies that was filmed here was one of his movies. And the John Wayne cabin there at Goldings was used in that movie.
Yeah, I wasn't as impressed with the John Wayne cabin once I learned that.
Yeah, they it was only used the facade.
It was a potato cellar for the Goldings.
Yeah, that's where she stored all of like their potatoes and onions and carrots.
Right.
It was a root cellar.
And so John Wayne was just in the movie, She Wore a Yellow Ribbon.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah, She Wore a Yellow Ribbon.
They just kind of filmed the outside of it, and so they've nicknamed it John Wayne's Cabin, which it was never his cabin. He never stayed in it.
No.
They just shot him on the outside of it. But, you know, I don't want to say I was unimpressed, but I thought it was cool. Visit it for sure. I thought the museum was really cool.
That was super cool. So the museum is the Goldings' old home. So eventually the trading post turned into an actual building. And the lower level was the trading post. The upper level was where the Goldings lived. And they have now turned it into a museum. So you have the ability to go through and there's different pieces of local art. There's turquoise jewelry on display that Mike had collected over the years. Her jewelry collection is there. Pictures of their life. You know, the different movies. There was a whole back room, which was so incredible, of the different movies that have been filmed here in on Golding's land and in Monument Valley. And that was just super neat to see, like, the different, the pictures and the autographs and the movie posters and what were those?
The call sheet. There was a Back to the Future call sheet that talked about the different stages of what they were filming.
Yep, what they were filming, what they were going to do there. So it was just really incredible. And then it really brings, for me, like, the whole area to life. You're like, oh my gosh, I remember seeing that in that movie. That's so cool.
So what was so cool is when we first walked in, the registration for the hotel was right there.
Yes.
And they had John Wayne's signature. They had John Ford's signature. And a lot of other famous people. And this is their actual signature right here in the registry.
Yeah.
Right when you walk into the museum. So that was really cool. And again, like Callie said, that brings it to life. You know, John Wayne, God rest his soul, he's dead and all that, but man, his signature is right there and it's very much alive.
And it was so cool. Like this registry was, you know, just blank pieces of paper that people would sign their names on, but there was also these artists that would do little sketches and then sign their names. So it's literally, this registry has become this beautiful piece of art also that they've done a great job preserving.
So definitely check out the museum. Yes. We've not ate at the museum. We're trying to eat healthy here. So we've been eating the RV every day, but we hear the restaurant here in Goldings is very good.
Yes.
So,
the Stagecoach restaurant, we hear it's very, very good.
Absolutely. So moving on to number 9, Gooseneck State Park. Now let me talk about that.
Yes.
So if you've ever been over to Page, if you have an Instagram page, you know what Horseshoe Bend is. Horseshoe Bend's the bend.
That looks like a horseshoe.
Right. Is it the San Juan River?
Oh, you're asking me. Everybody should know by now, I am so geographically challenged. Like, you keep talking, I am going to Google,
you know, someone's
going
to call me out if this is wrong, but I think it's the San Juan River that curves around into this Horseshoe Bend. But anyway, it's a beautiful place to visit in Page, Arizona, but it's so crowded. It's so crowded. You know, back, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, Callie and I went.
It's the Colorado River.
I was completely wrong. Thank you for Googling that.
Yeah, you were
so check with Gooseneck so I'm not wrong on that one, what river that is. But anyway, so, you know, back 4 or 5 years ago, we went there, and there was probably 3 or 4 people there, and nobody knew of it. And then Instagram, people started going there. But anyway, my whole point is Gooseneck State Park is not too far from Monument Valley, maybe 15 miles, something like that.
Yeah, not far at all.
And it's a very similar image. What river is it?
It's the San Juan River.
So I got it mixed up.
You were right, yet wrong.
I was partially right. So anyway, go to Gooseneck State Park. We don't need to talk much about this because you pay your $5, you get in, you go over the overlook,
and you get to
see this kind of Horseshoe Bend type.
It's a horseshoe. It's
with
the
San Juan
bend.
River.
Yeah.
That's below, and it's really cool. Just Google it. Just Google.
It's cool. It's very cool to
see. Gooseneck State Park, and you'll see all the pictures. But very close to Monument Valley. Definitely worth a short, I don't know, 20-minute drive over there to Gooseneck.
Yes. And so we're going to move on. And I kind of wrote these in order of where they're all located around each other. So Gooseneck State Park is not too far from Mexican Hat. And it's so funny because the first year that we came here, you know, Randy and I went out to this rock formation called Mexican Hat, and it looks like a Mexican hat. It really does. And we just thought it was the coolest thing. Well, little did we know that Mexican Hat is kind of in the middle of a lot of stuff. So you end up driving by Mexican Hat all the time. So we would go through, like, we were so excited to see it, you know, made our trip out there to see it. And then the rest of the time we're like, oh, look, there's Mexican Hat. Oh, hey, guess what? There's Mexican Hat. Hey, babe, look. Mexican Hat. So it's one of those things that more than likely you're going to pass it anyway, going to these different destinations. So just pull off, look at it, ooh and ah, and, you know, again, cool thing to see. Don't have to spend a lot of time there unless you want to do some hiking. There is some hiking in there.
Yeah. So Mexican Hat, I'm going to try to, Cal is the visual one, not me, but it's the spiral. it's a spiral that on top of it is this flat rock that sits on it, and it looks literally like, looks like a hat.
Mexican hat. Yeah.
Right, right. And so it's really a cool area. We have overactive dogs, or very hyper dogs.
We have overactive dog. The other one is very quiet these days.
Yeah, so boxers, if you have a boxer, you know exactly what we're talking about.
You're all laughing. You boxer owners are like, oh, yeah.
So anyway, our first agenda of every day is how do we wear our six-year-old six-year-old boxer, Zoe. And so a couple times we took her out to Mexican Hat and just let her run around. You know, there's very few people out there. You won't get occasional guests. But go see Mexican Hat. It's pretty cool. Yes. It's kind of in the center of, as Callie said, driving to different places.
Yeah, and it's actually right there in the little town of Mexican Hat. And another thing to do while you're in that area of Mexican Hat, the town, which is right by Mexican Hat, the rock formation, is get yourself some fry bread. So what is fry bread, babe?
Yeah, so when you cross over the San Juan River Bridge, right to your left, right on the cliff side facing the river,
literally a cliff.
There's a place there that serves fry bread, and I don't know if it's the best place in the world to get fry bread. I've only had fry bread there, so I have no other comparison to it. But go in there and get some fry bread. Fry bread is a Navajo. It's kind of a cross between naan and a flour tortilla. Somewhere in the middle there, but it's basically flour, salt, and baking powder, and it's deep fried.
It's deep fried to make kind of this puffy.
It's like a puffy naan is what it is.
It's like a puffy without as much flavor naan, and then they make them into tacos. They make
burgers.
They use it as a bun.
Hot dogs. Yeah.
Hot dogs.
But get yourself, I think it's pretty authentic Navajoian dish. Is that a word?
I don't know. We just made it one. Let's roll with it.
If there's any Navajoians listening, we are so sorry. but they make a Navajo taco, and that's supposed to be like a true traditional
fry bread taco.
That's right.
Yeah, a Navajo fry bread taco.
So anyway, our point is grab a Navajo taco, take it out to Mexican Hat, which is only about a mile down the road from this place. You know, get out of your car, sit down, and eat your Navajo taco right there.
And
have a picnic.
It's the San Juan Cafe, which is there at the San Juan Inn, right there on the San Juan River in the town of Mexican Hat.
And again, I'm not an experienced fry bread eater, I don't know if this is the greatest fry bread or the worst fry bread.
It's just something you have to do in the area.
But I think it tastes tasty. Callie wasn't as big of a fan
as
I was.
I wasn't a fan. It's a little greasy for me because it is deep fried. I'm not a big fan of deep fried stuff.
I thought it was good.
Okay. So moving on.
Number seven. There's a famous movie that was filmed.
Let me do the line. Okay, ready? You're
going
to introduce me. And here she comes. I want to introduce myself. Y'all ready for this? I'm tired now. I think I'm going to go home. That was epic, wasn't it? That was pretty good.
So what Callie's failing to do here,
that was beautiful.
Is the line in Forrest Gump when he's jogging around from coast to coast and he just gets tired. You know, he's got this whole crew that's
following
him, waiting for him to speak. He hasn't spoke at all.
And they're like,
and he stops.
He's going to speak.
Yeah, that's right. He stops and he says,
I'm tired now.
I think I'm going to go home. Right. So that film or that scene was shot right outside of Monument Valley. Mm-hmm. And it's on highway, is it 163? I think it's 163.
It is 163,
east. It's east of Monument Valley. You can't miss it because there's a big sign that says Forrest Gump Point, right?
Yeah, it's Forrest Gump Point, and they've made it this. And I'm looking at Google Maps right now, and this is like the only slowdown on Route 163 is at the Forrest Gump movie.
All right, so this is a popular place with all the Instagrammers and everybody else. Everybody wants to get a shot here. And it's a cool shot because you're kind of
up a little hill. Right.
But
so you've got the valley below you.
Right. But you've got probably, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 miles of roadway that leads up into these spiral buttes of Monument Valley, and it's an epic shot. You know?
Really is. It really is.
So definitely stop by. We don't need to spend a whole lot of time here, but definitely stop by the Forrest Gump Point on Highway 163?
Highway 163.
Highway 163 east of Monument Valley.
Yeah, if you Google it on Google Maps and put on your little traffic thing, you're going to see that that's the only area that's usually ever slow.
Right, right. So definitely stop there. I recommend going there in the morning. I went there at about 7 o'clock in the morning. I went to look at the sunrise. We're going to talk about that in a minute, mm-hmm. over Monument Valley. But right after the sunrise, I went over there about 7:30. There was like one other car there, which is very unusual. Usually you're going to see 5, 6, 7, 8 cars there all trying to fight for picture
Everybody
time.
Wants that shot with nobody in the road.
Yeah, they run out in the road and they take a shot. So anyway, get there early and you can get your shot. So the next one, this is probably one of my favorite places right here in the area, and that's number 6, and that's Drive or Boondock. The Valley of the Gods.
Yes, this is a super cool area. So we, the last time we were here, we went out to the Valley of the Gods, and it's a little bit away from Monument Valley, but still has that same landscape, maybe 30 minutes, maybe 20 to 30 minutes. But all of the buttes, the spires, the rock formations. And then there is the Valley of the Gods Road. And I think it's maybe 10-ish miles.
No, it's 17 miles. It's exactly the same.
No, the 17 mile loop.
It's
really?
The same amount, yes.
Okay.
I wrote about this in issue 1, I
My
remember.
My bad.
So the Valley of the Gods is a 17 mile, I don't want to call it a loop because it ends at a different road than where you start, but it's basically
but
a loop.
It circles out
circles around and gets pretty close to where you started. But Valley of the Gods is BLM land. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of boondockers on there. You'll see a lot of RVs out there, and it's a gorgeous, probably one of the most beautiful places I've seen to boondock. So.
Yes, and let's talk about, you know, when we say RVs, let's talk about some of the ones that can make it out there. So the boondock locations closer to the roads, you could get a diesel pusher there. You could get a really, really big fifth wheel there.
You got to be careful because there's some hills and some valleys. You got to go through a creek bed depending on the side that you come in on.
Correct.
There's one side off of Route 261, I think it is, that's a little bit more flat and probably a little safer for large fifth wheels and large motorhomes.
Right. That you could get back.
But I really think the other side, which I think is more scenic starting out, which is off of 160.
It would be off of 163.
163. Yeah. That side, I think you could get a motorhome or a large fifth wheel.
Right, within the first few stops.
Yeah, maybe a mile or something.
Yeah, because then you go down into the creek bed, you come up a hill, and it just really depends on your rig's length. So if you have a smaller camper trailer, it's going to be a little bit better for you. We saw a lot of like van campers. We saw a lot of truck cap campers. Is that the right terminology?
Yeah, yep.
Saw a lot of those back there.
The
car campers were back there.
The further you go back, the more
the smaller the campers get.
Well, and the more the narrow the road gets. And there's going to be a point where you do not want to take a large travel trailer, fifth wheel, or motorhome back to them. So definitely stick more closer to the road. But why don't you describe the scene out there?
Yeah, it's beautiful. And again, even if you don't want to go out there to boondock, take a drive around it. It's a beautiful drive. Like if you're like us and have 2 high energy dogs, it's a great place to take your dogs, pull off on one of these empty boondocking sites and just let your dogs run. But you're going to go in between and around all of these beautiful rock formations, the buttes, the spires, and it's
mesas.
You're going to have just gorgeous views, the kind of the sandstone cliffs. Sheer faces are like right behind you. So it's beautiful. So take the time, head out there. Like we said, there's 2 different ways to get in. You can get into it off of 261, which is probably going to be a little bit more accessible. If you do want to boondock and have a larger RV, that side is more flat for a bit to get into. And then the other entrance is off of 163. So definitely check that Valley of the Gods. And then not too far from Valley of the Gods, which is going to be off of this one, 261, is a crazy, crazy road.
Like, oh my gosh.
Insane, crazy.
White knuckle driving.
Yes.
At its best.
So if you are not a fan of kind of crazy intense drives, just don't even listen to us.
But you should. It gets your heart racing.
Oh my gosh, does it ever. So this is the, I think we're pronouncing it right, the Moki. We're going to say
Moki. I think
Moki.
It's Mookie.
Mookie. It's
M-O-K-I.
M-O-K-I. So we're going to say Moki Dugway. This road is a essentially single lane dirt and gravel road that goes up the side of this sheer cliff face. So it's going up the side of a mesa all the way to the top. And it's insane. I mean, you're driving up, you can't even see the road. And if you Google map it, it looks like somebody threw a bunch of wires on the ground and it's a big tangled up mess. And that's what the road looks like.
Oh my gosh. There's no guardrails.
None at all.
It's just this little like 1 foot dirt mound keeping you from falling 1,000 feet to your death.
It's insane. And again, dirt and gravel. And what's interesting is on the way up, Randy caught it this time. We've been up and down this road now, I think.
Four or five times total. Yeah.
Randy caught it this time. He's like, oh my gosh, honey, look, I think that's a car there. And we were able...
We're talking about down on the bottom of a cliff.
Yeah, ooh. On a cliff. So, and we couldn't tell like exactly what kind of vehicle it was or how long it had been there. But somebody at one point in time didn't make a turn and went plummeting over this edge. And
oh, it was all
mangled. A vehicle.
Honestly, it looked like it was like a 1950s car or
something
like that.
It looked pretty old. It really did. And they just left it. I mean, if you go up and down this road, you'll see there's no real way to get anything off the side of this sheer cliff face. It's incredible.
So our next two things are going to, you've got to go up the Mookie Dugway to get to them. But, but again, Mookie is a Navajo term. It means it's a weaving style, is what it is. And then Dugway is a road that's cut into a cliff, basically. So that's where they come up with a Mookie Dugway.
And it's the perfect name for it. Again, just pull out Google Maps, type in Mookie Dugway, Utah, and you're going to see this twisty, tangly.
Snakes up.
It's insane.
And again, we were here back in, what did we say, 18?
I think it was 18.
2018.
We still can't figure it out.
And, you know, I drove it again. We drove it then. And I drove it again just a couple of days ago.
Yesterday.
And I still was a little, my heart was racing a little bit.
I know.
I was a little nervous.
It's pretty intense because there are some areas that it is purely a one vehicle only.
Yeah, it's getting narrow.
It's super really narrow. And it's literally, you're up against a sheer cliff face. And then on the other side of your door is a sheer cliff face down.
Yeah, so you do not want to take an RV up there.
No, in fact,
there's big signs that warn you, do not take an RV up there. So if you're doing a Class C and you've got nothing else with you, do not take it. I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, Class B would be okay, but no size of Class C.
Leave your RV at Golding's or one of the boondocking spots and then drive up in your truck, your toad, or whatever.
Exactly.
So. Hey, it's Randy and Callie coming out at you. We got a very exciting announcement to let you know that starting on June 1st, we're taking orders, pre-sales,
for
our first printed edition of RV Destinations magazine.
I don't know if you heard that or not, but he just said print, like paper magazine.
Mailed to your front door.
It is coming. It's happening. We're finally doing it.
Yeah, so we finally took the plunge. We finally got exactly what we wanted. So Callie and I had a very specific dream. We said, if we're going to launch a magazine, and it's going to be printed.
It couldn't be one of these crappy ones.
We want it to be a beautiful thing that you're going to keep for years and years and years to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we've achieved that. So this is going to be high resolution paper. It's going to be a little bit more content than a lot of the other magazines out there that are in print. And we're going to deliver it right to your front door.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. So if you want to make sure you get your hands on one of these subscriptions, because you're going to want this. This is a gorgeous magazine. We are starting to take pre-sales starting June 1st. So right around the corner, you're going to be able to go out to RVDestinationsMagazine.com and pre-order your print subscription.
Now, don't stress it. We're still going to be doing the digital version.
Yes,
so you can do print, you can do digital, you can do both if you want. And then we still have the annual top destinations available on our website. That comes out once a year, and that's our favorite picks of the year. You can also order that as well. That's coming out in, actually, we stopped taking orders June 15th for that. So if you're interested in that, definitely pick that up as well.
Yeah. So hang in there, folks. It's coming. Coming to your door.
Get out to www.rvdestinationsmagazine.com and hit the subscribe button.
Subscribe today.
So let's move on to number four, and that is, this is so cool.
Oh, this is really neat.
This is kind of one of those things that... So Callie likes to be surprised. Whenever we go to a new location, she's like, I don't want to do any research. I just want to go experience it. Me... On the other hand, I'm afraid I'm going to miss something out. I got FOMO really, really bad.
Oh, yes, he does.
And it's like, I want to make sure I get everything in the area done, checked off, and go to. So I Googled, actually, I think I was watching a YouTube video, and someone said, the house on fire. And I'm like, what the heck's the house on fire? So I YouTube house on fire, and I saw this crazy ancestral Puebloan. There we go. You're saying it better than I am. I'm really struggling with the English
you're
today.
Like, Pueblo.
Don't worry.
I still love you, babe.
Callie is the appropriate.
The linguistic person between the two of us. I'm a little bit better with languages. You should hear Randy's accents.
I'm just the numbers guy.
You are so good at numbers.
Thank you, baby. But anyway, so there's this beautiful Pueblo.
You're so stinking cute.
What the heck?
Pueblo.
Anyway, so there's beautiful Pueblo.
A house. We're going to call it a really old house.
That's built inside of this, what, rock formation, yeah, cliff? Like this, I don't know what you would call
it. It's almost like this crevice of like this big rock formation on top that is pinched down to almost the rock formation that it's sitting on.
Yeah, but it is so cool. It's called a house on the fire because when the sun hits it right, it literally looks like the roof is on fire.
Yes, because this is all sandstone. Everything out here is sandstone. So the wind and the water erodes this sandstone. And when you stand in the right direction, and because it's red sandstone and the sun hits it, and with the way it's been eroded and kind of like the waves on the, we'll say, the roof above this stone-built Pueblo, it looks like flames. It is the coolest.
It is so cool. In fact, it's probably, again, I've been to Monument Valley. Callie and I have been here a couple times. And so this time, it was the coolest thing we've seen this time. So now, couple things. You got to go up the Mookie Dugway highway.
It is a highway
to get to it.
It's literally a
which
legit
is fine.
Road.
Again, so if you go there, you'll get to experience Mookie Dugway anyway because you got to go there to get there. It's in San Juan County, Utah. Mm-hmm. It's a 1.9 mile hike. Now, the video I watched said it was moderate to hard.
No, it's not.
It's flat pretty much the whole way.
It crosses a creek bed, which depending on the time of year will either be dry or have water in it. When we were there, well, just yesterday, it was dry. So you do go from, you know, up a little down the bank to the creek bed floor and then up the other side, but it's not like this crazy, huge, strenuous hike. Just be prepared for that.
I think the hardest thing was is I felt like in some places for an inexperienced hiker, you know, if you're experienced, it's not going to be a problem.
It's not a big deal.
But it's not marked real well. Especially when you go down to the creek bed, it's really hard to see where the trail picks back up and stuff like that. But again, for an experienced hiker, this is an easy hike.
It really
super
is.
Easy. You'll find your way fine.
Yeah.
In fact, most of the people that we passed were in their 60s and 70s.
Yeah,
We were probably the youngest people on this trail. When you get to the end, when you get to the house on fire, you do have to climb up a boulder a little bit. It's not much. But
it's not much. And you have the ability. We chose just to go to the house on fire, turn around and come back. But you can continue on that trail for a longer hike.
Right.
I honestly don't know how long that hike is. We were there just for the house on fire. But there's also a historical site, maybe a quarter mile down the road.
Before it.
Definitely stop by there because there are some ancient ruins there from a Pueblan society that used to live in that area.
Pueblian.
We are so sorry for what our...
Hopefully we don't have any English teachers listening.
I know. They're like...
I am so sorry.
Like, oh,
I barely got out of English class.
I was decent with it. I just kind of make up my own words as I go and hope nobody ever calls me out.
So it's called Mule Canyon Trail, I believe. It's 1.9 miles round trip. I think... I think I looked at my watch and it was about an hour for us to hike out there, take all the pictures we wanted, and then hike back. It was a very, very short period of time.
It was very easy. And and then it's the Mule Canyon Kiva, K-I-V-A, and that's just, again, a quarter mile down the road from the entrance where you pick up the trailhead. And they do have restrooms there if you need bathrooms, but then they have just a little ruins there that you can check out, and some actually really nice, like nicely restored looking ruins. So you can get a kind of better idea of how the Pueblos lived back in that day.
So it's about an hour and 15 minutes from Golding's, which is where we're staying in an RV park there. So about an hour and 15 minutes. Again, you got to go up the Mooki Dugway. You got to climb up the side of the cliff to get there. But again, about an hour and a half.
Yes.
Excuse me, hour and 15 minutes. So the next one is in the same area as the house on fire. Mm-hmm. And we thought this was pretty cool.
It was
the Natural Bridge National Monument. And that's about, I don't know, it's probably about 10 miles from the house on fire.
Yeah, it wasn't very far at all. It maybe took us, 15, maybe 20 minutes at most to get over to the Natural Bridges National Monument from the house on fire trailhead.
Yeah, so if you're doing the house on fire, you definitely want to include the Natural Bridges National Monument because it's so close together.
Right there.
They're right there. Yeah. Again, about hour and 20 minutes from Monument Valley. And so this is there's three bridges. And when I say bridges, think of an arch, but it's not really an arch because it's connected by two
landmasses.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's large. I don't
Hopefully
know.
There's no geologists listening to this because we're butchering this. But
I feel like I can almost hear people like chuckling and laughing at home.
So a natural bridge is different, even though it looks very similar to an arch, but it's a bridge.
It is. It's a bridge. And so this place has bridges.
It's a 9-mile driving loop, but there's three different bridges you can go to, and in each bridge, you've got an overlook that you can see the bridge.
Yeah, from up above.
From up above.
Because these bridges sit down deep into this canyon.
Deep, deep into the canyon. So you can choose to, at the top, to look at the overlook and see it, or you can choose to hike down into the canyon.
Yes.
So the first one, do you have the names of them?
I do. And so forgive me if I butcher these names.
Oh, they're gonna
be
horrible.
First one is the Sipapu.
I think that's right. That's pretty close.
The Sipapu Bridge is the first one you're going to come to. And we're doing these in order as you start the loop. And if you want, there is a hike that you can do at the canyon floor and see all three. And we're going to give our recommendation on where to start having gone to all three arches.
Yeah.
And
so when we stopped the first one, we were still trying to figure out what was going on with this park and kind of the layout. And so we looked at each other about hiking down to the Sipapu, if we're pronouncing that right. And we decided to go ahead and pass and go to the next one. So the next one was?
And the next one is the Kachina.
So the Kachina, we decided, hey, let's hike down into the canyon for this one. Mm-hmm. You know, we had limited time. We had just done the house on fire. So we had the hour drive. So we were already 2-3 hours into our trip. And so we decided to do that. And, you know, it's pretty straight down. You're going straight down the canyon.
Down. Yeah, it's straight down. I mean, we're talking steps carved into the canyon walls, walking down rock faces.
But it's not that far. It was only about 350 feet.
Down, and it was 0.75 miles, so 3/4 of a mile.
No, I think it was 0.9.
No, it was 0.75. 0.75 from the top to the arch. So
are
it was,
sure about
I'm
that?
Absolutely positive. You're asking me, I remember everything.
Yeah, she has a better memory than me. I thought it was 0.9, but maybe it is 0.75.
It was 0.75.
So but anyway, it you know, it is better suited for a more experienced hiker. Although we did see, again, some older folks
older
going down
folks,
there. But they were thin and they were pretty in shape and they were going down like a beast.
I mean, going down it, piece of cake.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Coming up, it's going to test your cardiovascular abilities.
And if you're like me, sometimes going down in a hike hurts your knees more than going up. And so I felt like it was a short enough distance where my knees didn't start hurting yet. Though when we got to the bottom, it was getting pretty close to that, but we weren't there yet. So I think if you got bad knees, you can handle a little bit of downhill before your knees start hurting.
Right.
I think you'll be fine.
And then we huffed and puffed our way back up the hill. And what do you say we were gone, honey? Because I don't think it was that long, was it? Because you said we were gone, maybe 30, 40 minutes?
Yeah, I don't think it was definitely under an hour, and it was beautiful. It was
gorgeous.
A big bridge. There was water underneath it, and we had it to ourselves for probably 10-15 minutes before any other couples came down. So anyway.
Then we huffed and puffed to the top, hopped back into our Jeep, and we went to the last arch, which is the Owachomo Arch, and looked at that. That was only 0.2 miles, so just under a quarter of a mile trek down the side of the hill.
Right.
Now, if y'all can hear me, I'm a little nasally, and I was pretty under the weather yesterday. So after we had done the Kachina hike, I looked at Randy and I'm like, yeah, it's not
happening. Done. Like, She's like, I'm done.
I'm like, I am so done. I can't breathe. I'm so tired. I'm not doing this.
So, and my problem was it was 46 degrees. I just had sweat through my only shirt I had with me and my only sweatshirt I had with me coming up from Kachina.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted to do it, but I knew the wind was blowing at 46 degrees. I'm like, I'm going to freeze my tail off if I go down. And so we decided to go ahead and skip it. I already had about 8 miles in for the day from all the walking dogs and the different hikes we did, the house on fire and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we decided just to go to the overlook and take a few pictures, which we did, and it looked stunning.
It was beautiful. And so we're going to give you a pro tip right now. So what we learned is that when you come into the park, you're coming in at a higher elevation there at Sipapu, and by the time you get to the Owachomo Natural Bridge, you're at a lower elevation, and you can walk down to the canyon floor and do a trail that would take you to all three natural bridges that you'd be able to see. So we recommend going to the Owachomo because
the last one, the third one,
because that's only 0.2 mile, so less than a quarter of a mile down the side of the canyon to see that. And then I believe it was about a 5.5 mile round trip loop that you can see, go and hike to see the Kachina and the Sipapu. And then you come back to the Owachomo and you only have less than a quarter of a mile to go up the canyon wall back to your car.
Yeah. So that's a good recommendation. Otherwise, if you want to see all three bridges, you've got to hike down the side of a mountain three times.
Yes.
Not mountain, but you got to hike down into the canyon three times.
Right.
And so again, she's saying go to the third stop, go all the way down, and then hike the a little over five miles, see all three bridges, and then come back out. So
yes.
I think that's a great recommendation.
And there's also some Pueblo ruins here as well. It's called Horse Collar Ruin, but you're only really able to view it from a distance. They recommend bringing binoculars to see it, but that is a ruin that is there as well that you're able to see from a distance.
Okay, so moving on, number two, and I'm the only one that's going to be able to speak to this because Callie doesn't get out of bed early.
No, I did. I did this the last time we were here.
Back in 18.
I know. I saw it. I did it.
So you've got to see a sunrise at the Visitor Center in Monument Valley. So this is one of the most stunning things you'll see in your life.
It really is. I am not a morning person. If you all haven't figured that out by now, like, the thought of waking up in the morning is the last thing I want to do. Like, I just don't like it. So I got out of bed super early. It was still dark. Like, this is not when people should be awake and moving in my mind.
So back in 2018, I got up at 3 o'clock and I went out and I shot Star Trail pictures and all around the Monument Valley area. And I was like, the sun's getting ready to rise. I'm going to go wake up Callie. That's a dangerous thing to do. That's a very dangerous proposition. That's for sure. So I woke her up. She was very sweet. She got up. She got dressed up. It was cold that day too. Took her out. She got to see it. But this past time, the first morning that we woke up this time, just a few days ago, I went out and it's just so stunning. You know, I got to see it again back in 2018. I saw it again a couple of days ago. And it's just, it really makes you contemplate life. It really does. It's so stunning.
It's very spiritual. It truly, truly is. Like, just going there and being in the moment and watching literally the world wake up. You know, this part of the world that you're in, and seeing it wake up and the sun kissing these buttes and the red sandstones and setting everything on fire. It really does just make you sit and reflect and just have a very peaceful kind of moment. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, so the sun sets up in between the two mittens. There's two mittens. It looks like basically hands. Mittens.
Yeah, they call it the East and West mittens.
Right, right.
But and they look like little hands.
And the sun just comes up right between them in a bird's head. So you'll see, there might be four or five other photographers out there, yeah. But you know, if you're not a photographer, don't worry about it. Take your phone, yeah, go out there, just sit and watch the sunrise, be in the moment, and, you know, maybe catch a shot or two with your cell phone. That's all you need.
Absolutely, and you can. So Randy had his, super nice camera with him. I made the decision quite a few years ago to just move to my cell phone because I just felt like when I carried my professional camera, I was missing being in the moments. So I just took my cell phone and captured some really stunning images using my cell phone and was very, very happy with what I got.
Yeah. So seeing the sunrise at the visitor center, and again, that's the visitor center at Monument Valley.
Yes.
And first, the shack where they take payments is not open that early. So you could just drive right through that. So there's mm-hmm. no fee to do that. Hopefully that will stay the case. I mean,
yeah,
that was it in 2008. There was nobody there. We zoomed right through. Yeah. And then just a few days ago, I zoomed right through. So there was nobody there. So you don't have to pay a fee to do that. But so moving on to number one. Where's your drum roll? So the number one is drive the 17-mile loop on the Monument Valley Tribal Park.
Yes. Oh, this loop is incredible. So they're at the Monument Valley Tribal Park, because it is a tribal park of Monument Valley. They have a visitor center. They have a gift store. They have a little cafe. And then that's where you also pick up this 17-mile loop drive all through Monument Valley. And it's absolutely breathtaking. It's incredible. You have to do it. They you can do different tours from there as well. So if you don't want to make the drive because maybe your vehicle can't handle it, it's definitely going to be more comfortable in a high clearance vehicle for sure. So if you have a sitting lower to the ground sedan type car, you might not want to take it back through there.
But honestly, we saw a lot of sedans there. I agree with Callie. I think if you have a truck, you have a Jeep, you have something like that, you're fine.
Yeah, your crossover. Yeah, no problem.
And it's not that you're going over creek beds and you know that you're having to put it in four wheel drive or anything like that. It's just there's a lot of potholes.
Yeah, there's a lot of potholes and it's a rock and gravel road. And so, you know, a higher clearance vehicle is just going to be able to attack that road a lot better than a car that sits low to the ground. So if you don't, or even if you don't want to take your car through that and you're like, I just really don't want to risk taking my car through that and maybe, you know, puncturing a tire or something on a rock, they offer all kinds of tours. There's a blue kiosk. When you pull into the parking lot, head over there. They do tours all the time from that location.
Or tours out of Goldings there.
Exactly. And tours from Goldings as well. So if you're staying here at the RV park, you can set up a tour from here to be able to go over to Monument Valley and check all this out.
It's kind of expensive though. We felt like it's kind of expensive. I think it was
like $79 to like $109
per person,
$29 per
person to drive a 17-mile loop that takes you like $8 in gas.
Exactly. So you know, if you have the ability, we'd probably suggest doing it yourself because then you can go at your own pace. There, what is really really cool is all throughout the 17-mile loop, there's different places you can pull off, and the local Navajos are selling goods. So jewelry and necklaces and earrings and turquoise and different types of stones. And you can stop off, and they're all locally made there by the ladies in the tribe of the Navajo tribe. And you can purchase these items. So you're supporting a great, wonderful local cause. You're helping the community. One of the stops has a food shack. Called a food shack.
Right, by the John Ford Point.
Yeah, and that's where we stopped, and I bought a necklace there. They also have a couple of art store, but they were selling different Navajo items that you could buy in there, like rugs and pottery and things of that nature. So definitely, you know, you can take your time if you're driving yourself, stop at these places, stop at the different buttes and the different spires and take pictures and really kind of take your time.
Yeah, so make sure you get a picture of the man on the horse on John Ford's Point.
Yes.
If you don't know what we mean, just
Google
when you get here, everybody will know what you're talking about. So.
Yeah. There's usually a guy on a horse there. Strangely enough, today he was not there. I don't know why, but what was cool was then we were able to run out. Like I ran out to the end of the point and Randy got my picture from a distance. So it's kind of cool.
Right. So you can go back to issue one. You could see John Ford's point.
With a horse.
There's a horse in a cowboy on the Navajo cowboy.
Yes, that's a Navajo cowboy. And that's another thing as well. You can do horseback rides there through the Monument Valley Loop. In fact, you pick that up at the John Ford's Point. There were some stables right there. You can go over, set up a horseback ride if you really want a true, authentic experience through the Monument Valley Tribal Park Loop.
Yeah, so once you're done with the loop, then we suggest go to the visitor center.
Yeah.
They've got a nice gift shop there, and the prices are okay.
I felt like the prices were more reasonable. They had a lot of things on sale. Now, I don't know if it's one of those things where the sale signs are up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Like Kohl's.
Like Kohl's, right? But, you know, I felt like the prices with the, you know, the quote-unquote sale that they were having were better than some of the other places we had seen in the area.
Yep, that sounds good. So let's talk about how to get around here. So everything's pretty spread out here, and so you're definitely going to want a high-clearance vehicle to get to some of these places, certainly like the Valley of the Gods. And then the Tribal Park Drive.
Moki, Dugway, you could go up in a car.
You could go up in a car on there, yeah.
You can. It's flat.
No problem. It's... You know, you got those whatever the.
I don't even know what it's literally because your tires start skidding, and then what happens is your back wheels jump. It creates a divot in the road.
These little like speed humps,
right? And then it grabs on, and then it digs in and creates a divot, and then other cars come and they all do the same thing, and those divots just keep getting bigger and bigger.
So everybody knows what I mean when I said like when your tires do that.
I had to explain how it happens.
Gotcha. So again, if you have nothing but a regular vehicle, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's just going to be, you have to take your time through the Valley of Gods in the Tribal Park. You can make it through, you know, with a regular sedan.
Yeah.
But just take your time.
Take your time. Just be safe about it. Don't go plowing through.
If you got a truck or Jeep, plow through.
Yeah, you can plow through a little bit better.
Replace your suspension when you get home. So let's talk about, we're running out of time here. Let's talk about camping options in the area.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different things you can do in the area as far as camping.
Yes. So if you're like us, I still kind of like my full hookups, especially if we're in a location longer than a few days, because things get dirty and dusty and I like to do laundry. You know, we purposely don't bring a lot of stuff with us so that we have the opportunity to do laundry. So I like the full hookups or a campground that has laundry facilities for that purpose. So that's why we chose Golding's. Plus the views here are just beautiful. We're nestled in between some of these buttes and mesas. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful view back here. There's trails that you can pick up off of this RV park as well to go out and, you know, experience all this stuff hands on. Now there is a KOA. I want to see down the street and around the corner.
Start off 163.
Yeah. So the KOA is not far at all.
It's a no frills.
It is super
KOA.
No frills. It is all gravel parking lot. No trees.
So Golding's is definitely the best place if you're looking to be pampered. And I don't even know if I would say this is pampering, but it's the best option in the area.
Right, because it has the most amenities. They have an indoor pool. They've got a good size camp shop and store up front with any provisions you might need, souvenirs. They've got laundry facilities. They have bathhouses, full hookups. Beautiful views. So, yeah. So you're going to pay for it because there's not a lot of options. It's pricey, but it's beautiful and worth it.
Yeah. So the other option is, as we said, probably the most beautiful boondocking in the country is Valley of Gods.
Yes.
Again, if you're not boondocking, at least drive the drive. But if you're an experienced boondocker, you want to do that, go to Valley of Gods. It's great phone signal. You've got no problem getting internet there. You can work from that area, but that's another option. And then there's a couple other parks. Can you remember the one that we took the dogs to today? What's that called?
Yeah,
do you remember?
I don't know. It literally just said campground with an arrow pointing off around the corner.
There was a name to it, but I kept calling it Broken Arrow, but that wasn't it.
Yeah,
there is a big arrow.
No, actually, Arrowhead. It is Arrowhead Campground.
Is it?
Yes. I just found it on Google Maps.
Okay, so again, it's basically boondocking.
I think that's it.
There's no amenities.
Oh, wait, that's not it. Sorry.
I don't think that's it. But there's a couple different areas. If you're not afraid to boondock, you can find a lot of BLM
Sleeping
land.
Sleeping Bear.
That's it. Sleeping Bear. That's it.
Sorry. There are actually, if you Google it and pull it up, you're going to see that there's actually quite a few campgrounds in the area. However, 95% of them are no hookups. So like Sleeping Bear, incredible, gorgeous views. Oh my gosh. And you're kind of up on the top of a little bit of a canyon rim almost. Beautiful, beautiful. But again, no hookups. The KOA would have hookups. Golding has hookups. But pretty much any other campground you're going to pull up in the area is going to be no hookups.
So again, Monument Valley, bucket list thing. Get
yes.
here. Come see this. You've got to see it. Bring the kids here. If you don't have kids, come yourself.
Come enjoy it. It's gorgeous. Experience.
It's amazing. Lots of things to do here.
Yes. So we want to thank you all for joining us today and listening to the top 10 things to do here in Monument Valley. We definitely want you to come out and visit, check out the area, support the local tribe. And
don't forget to download your free copy of the top 10 things to do in Monument Valley at www.rvdestinationsmagazine.com/top 10. Or you could click down in the notes and it should
be a
hyperlink right there that takes you right over. Put your email in and we'll email you the PDF.
Yes. And please come and check us out on our website at www.rvdestinationsmagazine.com. And please rate, review, and subscribe to or follow us on the RV Destinations podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. I am Callie Beheimer, editor-in-chief of RV Destinations Magazine.
And I'm Randy Beheimer, the president of RV Destinations Magazine. Can't even speak.
I know. Thank y'all so much for listening and safe travels.
Happy travels.
You've been listening to the RV Destinations Podcast. Hitting the road in an RV is one of the most popular things to do nowadays. And it's our passion to clue you in on where to go and what to see. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, visit our website at www.rvdestinationsmagazine.com. And from there, you'll get a more in-depth look at destinations for the RVer. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there. And we'll see you next time on the RV Destinations Podcast.